Good morning, everyone. Who is here for the first time this year? Happy New Year, everyone. I tell you, I'm so glad that we live in a world where we have New Years so that we can often sometimes put to bed some things that we'd rather not revisit ever from the previous year. And we have a whole, what I think, a whole blank canvas ahead of us, and it's wonderful. I'm so, so pleased. I want to tell you some great news this morning, and the great news is that God is on the move. I was at a conference over the last 2 days and saw the most amazing picture. Years ago, a woman called Marilyn Hickey from the States, God started calling her into Pakistan. Because she was a woman, she got in completely under the radar and held amazing crusades and led many, many thousands of people to the Lord. One particular person is Anwar. Now Anwar is an amazing evangelist in Pakistan. He holds rallies every 2 months. Every month, maybe month or 2 months. We saw a picture, Suzanne and I were there together. 300,000 Muslim Pakistanis, 1 mile wide, 5 miles back, 80% of them came to the Lord. This is quite usual for him. There's another missionary there, and I think, I can't remember his name, he's Pakistani. About once every 3 to 4 months, he goes to another area of Pakistan that is heavily Taliban. He gets 40,000 turning up to his crusades, and people are coming to the Lord. This is what we need to be feeding ourselves with, people, to get with God's program instead of looking at the news that we look here, that is just all absolutely doom and gloom. There are great things happening in the world, and we are so privileged to be in this time. For God has just called us for such a time as this, and I am really excited for this year. I had a friend in Australia send me a little audio, and it was this guy, and he may be a pastor, I don't know, but he was saying, you know, the last 5 years, every year I haven't felt excited. This year I feel more excited than ever. And I thought, oh, that's so good. And he was giving the reasons why. So I messaged back to my friend and said, who is it? He said, I don't know, but I'm really enjoying the message and I'm believing it for me too. I was listening to some prophetic prophecies this morning. Bill Johnson, Dutch Sheets, and Patricia King. And everyone seems to feel that we really are on the brink of something really good. And I hope that we will catch it. Feed ourselves what we need to be feeding. Positive stuff, not negative. So anyway, I'm Marilyn. Welcome this morning. I'm on the preaching team here, and I've been in this church for about 4 years now and loving every time I come. I am speaking to you this morning about quality time with God amid distractions. God just wants me to do something. Would every married person please stand up, whether you have your spouse with you or not? Thank you. Father, I believe and I thank you that you want to release a fresh anointing of quality time to all the married people that are here this morning and those that attend this church that aren't here. I release that now over these wonderful people, that there will be an increase of quality time and an increase in the time that they are able to have together. And Lord, I just bind every distraction that the enemy would try to bring when they are just coming together to have quality time. I bind every plan, every attack, every assignment of the enemy off these married people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If I was to say, what is quality time, I probably would get quite a lot of different answers from you. So I'm going to just tell you that when I left India for the first time, I had been there 2.5 weeks, and I landed in Singapore, and I felt I was back in my world. I felt very much for me, India was like an other world. And so when I was in the airport, I went to the duty-free shop, and I spent an hour smelling perfumes. I felt that that was me getting grounded back into my culture. Some ladies may understand. And to my delight, later that year at the college where I was working, we had a supper for the alumni. and they were allowed to bring spouses. And a lady who had been a student brought her husband, who was a perfumier. And I ended up having the most exquisite conversation with this man because he really loved his job. He wasn't a person that spoke at you, which I was very blessed for, but he was really interesting, not only to listen to, but he really listened to my questions and answered me. And I remember walking back to my unit thinking, wow, I have so enjoyed that conversation. That was really good quality time. But with people, that's kind of where it ends. When we look at having quality time with God, we need to go a step further than just having one topic and walking away. And I think some of the things that we need, first of all, we really need to learn how to trust God. It's very, very hard to try and have quality time with a person, and in this case with God, if there is not an element of trust. And hopefully, as we go on in our Christian walks, that trust really increases. The trust can actually open us up then to be very, very honest with God. And through the honesty, we can become vulnerable because we feel safe with God. We feel vulnerable like children are. Aren't children amazing when they come up to you and they just say whatever is on their mind? And sometimes I watch my little granddaughter, Mackenzie, that I bring with me sometimes, and she'll just stand over there and dance away like there's no one here. You know, they're just so trustworthy and they're so real, so authentic. And I know that that's what God absolutely loves, when we can be in that place of trusting him, of being very honest with him, of being very vulnerable and authentic. We have an amazing model of Jesus, but I'll come to that in a minute. So what about how we have quality with God? I would think for Anna, that Anna's quality times with God is when she's worshiping and maybe when God downloads new songs to her. I think that Anna probably would think that that was quite high quality. And if I was Nicholas playing a saxophone, I would think that playing a saxophone would be one of my high quality times with God. It could be for some of the people here that are runners, that when you're out running, that is a very good high quality time. It's closeness, isn't it? Quality time is absolute closeness with God. Where do you feel closest to God? We have different times. I have a tiny little kitchen, for those of you who have been in my house. I call it my hobbit kitchen. When I first moved in, I just looked and said, God, you have to be kidding if you think that I'm going to be able to function in here, okay? I make amazing meals out of my little hobbit kitchen. But I'm really happy when I'm in there. I really sense the presence of God. A little bit like, who was that priest from years ago who said that God was the God of his pots and pans? Francis of Assisi? Brother Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we can have quality time with God anywhere where we are. What did Jesus do? Well, in Matthew 14:23, it says, with the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. So we know that sometimes maybe the quality time needs to be completely on our own. Jesus did what the Father called him to do. And I'm sure there were times that he was tired, but he still took himself to the place where he needed to be completely on his own so that he could have that relationship, the conversation that he needed to with God. Mark 1:35 says, while it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went to a secluded spot and prayed. And Simon and those who went looking for him, when they found him, said, everyone's looking for you. Well, I know that he would have known that beforehand, but that wasn't a priority. His priority was, I need quality time with my Father, and it's going to happen, and no one is going to interrupt me. Luke 5:16, as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out of the way places for prayer. This is also what we need to model ourselves on. Interestingly, I noticed that there was nothing in the book of John. John did not mention about Jesus going away for prayer. I think that's probably because John liked to spend all his time with Jesus. He really was a great role model. And what we need to look at is to make sure that when we are in our relationship and quality time with God, that it is a two-way relationship. Some of us are very, very, very good at praying. And we pray, 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 pray. And when we pray, do we hear from God? Yes, sometimes we do. Sometimes we can hear the audible voice of God. Sometimes in prayer, we don't necessarily hear, but we get a very deep knowing. And other times, we do get a sense of a picture or a thought, and we know that that's God communicating. But if we went right through our Christian life doing that, we would be very unbalanced. We need the Word as well. The Word is where God talks to us about what's on His heart. And I love what Ravi Zacharias does. Have any of you heard of Ravi Zacharias? One of the greatest apologists of our time. He said that he reads an Old Testament chapter, a New Testament chapter, every morning, because morning is the time that suits him. And if nothing really springs out, he just keeps walking up and down and rereading until God speaks to him about something in that. That is commitment, and that is him really wanting to have that quality time with God. There must be something in this chapter, he says, God, that you want to speak to me about. There's many ways that we can come to have quality time with God. Singing, worshiping is one. Playing an instrument is another. Some of us like to dance or flag, and we can really get into a lovely quality time with God that way. Some of us, it could be journaling. I know people that really do feel very close to God when they're journaling. But there's other very practical ways, as I said, sometimes painting a fence. And there's nothing less diminished in the quality that you may have with God while you're painting a fence. God is a God of the ordinary and the extraordinary, yes? And of course, prayer. So, we would all, when we hear messages like this, we think, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And at the beginning of the year for Christians, what is it we say that we want to lose weight, get more exercise, and spend more time with God? And we may start it off very well, but what are the distractions that come our way? Tiredness is something that as Christians we really need to guard against. When we're tired, we know that we'll do everything we have to do, and then things of God tend to get looked over or get shortened, get diminished. So, guard against tiredness. Another thing can be that you might actually have had the time, you're there, you're just about to pick up your Bible or start praying, and you hear your cell phone vibrating or dinging or ringing. So my suggestion is, none of us are the presidents of countries here. Nothing is going to fall over for your half hour or however long you want. Put your phone in another room. You can do it. You can do it. That is one. Sometimes we have things that we're carrying and we just can't get our mind off them. And we sit down to pray and all of a sudden our mind's clicking over to what we're worried about. Just some practical things here. I won't spend too long on them. Some people say that if they write it down, it kind of disconnects it from them and that they can do it later. If you do have something, and even it can be annoying, there might be something you've been trying to remember, you just sit down to pray and it comes back to you. Write it down, you can deal with it later. We actually can do a lot more, and we're capable of doing a lot more than what we really believe at times. If there's anything that's really consuming you, if you're worried about things, just pray that out first as well. you know, before you even start reading, God, you know, I'm really worried about this child in my family. And just give that to God, and then get your slate clean to be able to come into this time where you know you need quality time. Does quality time need a time frame? No, I don't believe it does. I don't believe it does. I believe that that we can have very, very quick quality times with God. I want to be naughty and just say, you know, one of the most common prayers that God hears from the Western world is car park. I'm kidding. But I remember when I was at another church years ago, a woman was on the beach walking, very quiet woman. I may have shared this before. And she saw two Dobermans leaping down the beach toward her. The owner was calling the Dobermans' names, and the Dobermans were not being obedient. And she knew that they were really meaning some business. And so her quality time prayer was, in the name of Jesus, stop. And they stopped. So we can have very, very high quality, short times with God. But that's really not what we're talking about here. Here is quality time to build a relationship with God. So why do we want quality time with God? What does it actually do? It brings us closer to God. It fills us with His Spirit. And if we continue to do that on a daily basis, then what we're doing is, I call it, we're kicking ourselves up into the spiritual realm, whereas where, as Christians, we need to be. The world is getting darker. There are some pretty horrible things happening out there in the world, and the education system, and now with this no offending that seems to have come in. And really, church, a bit of a warning, if you're not prepared to really get yourself filled with the Spirit and keep yourself kicked up in the Spirit, so that you're so full of the Spirit that when anyone says a comment to you, you can have the right attitude toward it, rather than that comment absolutely knocking you out for the rest of the day. So can I really encourage you with this message today to make a resolve to actually have some quality time with God on a daily basis? We always will do the things that are important to us. And I honestly, I can't see enough how important it is for us to do this. The times are getting quite perilous out there. We know that. It says that darkness will come over, but the light will be greater. It's up to us to actually put our fingers in the socket and get the light switches and the light going. I liken it a little bit like to a car filling up with petrol. I'm on a bit of a budget at the moment, and so each fortnight I can put X amount of dollars in my car. Well, I've changed a system now, and I actually can charge my petrol, and I get an account once a month. And so now I can go and fill up right to the top, and it's such a good feeling. I think, oh, I see that going past the full, and there it is, and I know I'm absolutely cranked up, my car's full, and off I go. And I think really that is, if anyone can take that on as a picture, that's where we need to be. And at the end of the day, assess, you know, where am I? Where's my petrol level? How much time, God, do I need to spend with you to top myself up again? There are times too when we may come and we've turned the cell phone off. If they have children, they're away, and I'm all set ready to get into this quality time with God, and you're just not making the connection. Oh, you know, it's just flat. One of the things that I do there is I've picked a scripture out of Revelation. And what I do is I actually really ponder on this. This is my go-to. And it's from Revelation 4, 8 to 11. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him, whose lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." I don't need to read that. I can just get my mind picturing. I picture the creatures and I picture them seeing that. And then I picture the 24 elders worshipping, casting their crown down. Why do I do that? Because I need to be connected to heaven. When I'm losing it down here, and that is my connection picture. So I hope that that might help someone here. Another thing that I think is going to happen is that God is going to come in power and he is going to touch many people. And I think we need to be ready as a church to receive a lot more. And I'm seeing today, are we ready? Are we ready to be able to spring another couple of home groups up? Are we ready to be able to have things going on to accommodate the new people that are coming here? I would hate to see people coming in here and us not being able to meet some needs and people just drifting off again. So what I'd like to finish with today, because we're on a short day, is I just want to speak over you some of God's promises to really build you up, hopefully. Each one of these is a scripture, but I'm not going to say which scripture it is. If you want to know, you can come to me later. But it's actually from the Father's love letter. So just close your eyes and I will just start reading some of these things to you. These scriptures will change your life if you let them, for they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And he is the father that you will have all your life. This is his love letter to you. And just receive as many of these as you need to. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than you could ever imagine, for I am the perfect Father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are as countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. You are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. It is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. I love you with an everlasting love. Your Father. Amen. Be blessed, everyone. I hope and pray that you will see the value of quality time with God throughout this year. If any of you would like prayer, if you've had anything holding you back, or if you would like prayer for anything else, please come up. Otherwise, please be free to fellowship with one another. I'll just finish in prayer. Father, I just pray a blessing over everyone today. I pray, Lord, that as we go out of here, your Holy Spirit anointing that's in here now will just continue to build and build and build in people through this week. That, Lord, you will protect people, that you will draw people close to you. That, Lord, thank you that you have called us for such a time as this. And I just pray for divine opportunities for everyone for this coming week. And protection in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.